It's the new year. Happy New Year. Should we make it a Kodak moment? What? Does that even exist? Hey, this is Father Voskin. I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, and I'm connecting the dots between the spiritual, the emotional, physical, everything in between. And believe it or not, this is episode number 500 of The Next Step. And if you're not too tired, I know I'm not. Let's take that next step right now.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes, welcoming you to our 10th year of broadcasting The Next Step. The Next Step is a step, a stride, moving us forward. Here, Father Voskin provides his unique and distinctive voice for Armenian Orthodoxy, as providing an intelligent and practical answer to the challenges of life. Since 2008, these next steps have been taken toward and for the disenfranchised members of the church community, as well as for those searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, as well as for the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Now hold still, hold still. Let's get a memory of this, okay? Let's make it a Kodak moment. It is number 500. The next step has reached number 500, and you are here. Welcome. And let's make it a Kodak moment. Do you know what even a Kodak moment is? I know many of you do, because many of you are older and do understand what a Kodak moment is. Yes, and I can say that. It is a new year. It is a mark in time. It is a mark of a period of time. A new year means we're a year older, and it's okay to say that. Let's just go with it, okay? Nobody get offended by that. But there are certain people, younger people, that will not know what a Kodak moment is. A Kodak moment is a treasure. You wanna preserve it forever. And in the old times, way old times, like 10 years ago or so, you know, you'd have a camera and it would be filled with film, not just digital media, but you could put film in there and you would snap a picture and that would be a Kodak moment, a moment that would be preserved. Remember Paul Simon? Kodachrome. Do we even know what Kodachrome is? Well, it was a type of slide film. What are slides? So much has changed. So much has changed in the past decade, 15 years, 20 years. And that's what I want to talk to you about as we start this new year, 2018. Welcome to the new year. Welcome to 2018 and welcome to the next step. And we take a moment right now to remember all those who didn't make it to 2018. Who we can't welcome to 2018. And certainly there are so many people that touched our lives in different ways, personal friends as well as big people. I was thinking the other day as I was watching one of the shows that recapped the year, there were so many great people that really influenced us, influenced pop culture in many ways. And it's always an interesting turn at the turn of the year that we have an opportunity to look back and remember and recount. Now today I want to not talk about those people as much as the concepts that didn't make it to 2018. I mean, we have changed dramatically, haven't we? I mean, think about it right now. I mean, this is something we do. It's kind of fun. We're on the West Coast. So, of course, everything that happens in Washington, D.C., four hours. So by the time we wake up, you know, already Washington and most of the country has seen morning time. And so we wake up to say, hey, what did the president tweet this morning? You know, I mean, think about it. It's like, well, the amazement at what could come out, what possibly, what new, I'm sorry, what could come out of him today? And we're just like sometimes flabbergasted too, right? But the point being that tweeting, tweeting. Can you imagine the president of the United States communicates with his people through a resource called Twitter? Wow. Who would have ever thought? But it's happening. Yeah, President Obama did it. You're right. President Obama did it. Trump has made it into something that we look at, sometimes in horror, sometimes in shock. But it is a way of communication. And think about it. Where we were just 10, 15 years ago, your main source of information was coming to you from three basic sources. You were either getting it in a newspaper, in written form. You would be getting it in visual form on a television, or you'd be getting it in audio form on the radio. Yeah, okay, say, give it 20 years, okay? 1998. Yeah, that's about a good time. I think probably Monica Lewinsky was probably the biggest event that took over the internet. I could be wrong on this, but probably the Monica Lewinsky scandal, 1998, or thereabouts. That's probably when that was probably the first time that the internet, as a form of communications, usurped, really took over, you know, where traditional media was the means by which information or news was getting out to people. This was a turning point, 1998. And I remember after 2007, was it, when the first iPhones came out, you know, there was you didn't have a computer in your pocket. Yeah, there were smartphones, there were little phones, and there were phones that were doing texting, but you didn't have a computer in your pocket. And Apple changed the landscape, and all of a sudden in 2007, what happened? People had phones in their pocket, and people were changing. I remember the day Michael Jackson died. When Michael Jackson died, it wasn't through traditional media that information reached us. In fact, it was several hours later that we heard about his death on radio, television, but it was via Twitter. And, you know, it's the way that people are communicating today, like it or not. And if you say, I'm going to get a newspaper to check out the news, what you're basically saying is, I'm going to get some old information. And by old, I mean 12 hour old, right? Because by the time the information comes, the newspaper office prints it and gets it out into circulation, it does take some time. So it's not the most efficient means of news communications, but now we're making the decision that what really is important. We're looking for editors of that news because we're being bombarded with all kinds of information. It's being thrown at us at huge velocities. And content. And now you're saying, hey, you know what? I want an editor. And this is where a lot of the news services, a lot of the websites are making their money. Yahoo News. Have you checked out Yahoo News? It's basically an edited version of all the news. AOL was one of the pioneers in this, in taking news and editing it. What do you need? I get a little feed. I believe it's an Apple feed on my iPhone every morning. It says the news you needed to know. And, well, there's a price for that too, right? Is the news that they want you to know. And who is the they? Well, it's being driven by profits, by motives, through advertising and so on and so on. Well, that's capitalism, right? Okay. We're making the point. Now, let's back up a little bit because I did say I wanted to talk about Kodak. And it's important because I woke up on New Year's morning, on January 1st, with this idea. It was really weird. This is how I woke up. On January 1st, you know, we live in Pasadena, so I set an alarm because we're usually up late on the 31st. And I set an alarm for 7:45. And even my alarm was different this year. Yes, for Christmas, we got those little Amazon little Echoes. So that night, I just said, Alexa. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I know I probably triggered off all of your Amazon devices, didn't I? Anyway, I said that name at night, and I said, set an alarm for 7:45. And she asked me, she said, AM or PM, morning or evening? I said, in the morning, of course. And so it was set. Anyway, New Year's morning, waking up at 7:45. I get up because at 8 o'clock, the Rose Parade starts. And being on the route, we get this beautiful demonstration of the United States Air Force bringing their stealth bomber right along the route. So we literally come out of the house and we see this marvelous creation of technology, you know, fly by and kind of buzz the houses as it goes by. So I was getting ready for that. And as I woke up, as she woke me up, that we won't say her name, okay? Because I know it's going to trigger your devices. But starts with an A, ends with an A, and it even has an LEX in the middle, okay? She woke me up with this horrible this horrible noise. It's not a good alarm. In fact, that morning I said, how do I change this alarm? And they said, you got to go to the app and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I woke up and it was in the middle of a dream. It was in the middle of an idea dream. I don't have too many of these, but when they do come, they're really cool. And it was so moving to me that I just got up and I came right over to my desk and wrote it down. I wrote down the notes to it. It was about Kodak. It was about Kodak changing, about Kodak not surviving 2018, not surviving to see this second decade of the new millennium. Now, Kodak, you have to know, was one of the big players. It was up there with Ford, with GM. I mean, it was synonymous with being American. You looked at it, they had some incredible branding. Think about the Kodak yellow. It was branded, right? You looked around and you saw that color. You knew they were talking about Kodak. It wasn't an ordinary yellow. It was a special yellow that made you think of Kodak. I could liken it to, I think Target has a really good branding. Take a look at colors. When you look at a Target advertisement, you get it in the paper, you get it on television, wherever. There's a red that they use for their Target. It's Target red. Is different than other reds, is different than the skin on your pool table, right? It's different than your clothes. It's a unique red. And when you look at it without seeing the word Target, you know that they are talking about Target. Same way Kodak had branded this yellow, the Kodak yellow, so that wherever you saw it, you knew that they were talking about film. They were talking about Kodak. It was big. Kodak was giant. And what did they say? I know you're waiting for Father Voskin. How are you going to tie this in with spirituality and all the other things that you do? What did they say about Kodak? It's so big. This will never die. It's so big it will never go away. Oh. 2018, no Kodak. Yeah, I know there's bits and pieces. There's still small areas of Kodak that are functioning here and there. But for all intents and purposes, let me see. When did they? January 2012. So it's been 6 years. 6 years ago, they filed for Chapter 11, something you never expected Kodak to do. They filed Chapter 11. In other words, they tried to get bankruptcy protection. What here? Kodak was founded by George Eastman and Henry Strong on September 4th, 1888. I'm reading from Wikipedia right now. During most of the 20th century, Kodak held a dominant position in photographic film. The company's ubiquity was such that its Kodak moment tagline entered the common lexicon to describe a personal event that was demanded to be recorded for posterity. Personal event, recorded for posterity. Where did we start off? Today's the 500th episode. We needed a Kodak moment, didn't we? But there was no Kodak right there, was there? Kodak began to struggle financially in the late 1990s as a result of the decline in sales of photographic film and its... get this, okay? A result of the sale of photographic, okay, the decline of its main product. It declined in sale of its main product, photographic film. And here it is, its slowness in transitioning to digital photography. The signs of the times were all there. People were using digital photography. More and more people were using it. It's slowness. No. We're always going to be around, right? People will always want film. No, people didn't always want film. As a part of the turnaround strategy, Kodak began to focus on digital photography and digital printing and attempting to generate revenues through aggressive patent litigation. In January 28, 2012, Kodak filed Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in the United States District Court. In February, Kodak announced that it would stop making digital cameras, pocket video cameras, and digital pictures, and so on and so on. Big change, right? Big change. They weren't ready to catch up with the times. They weren't ready to bend with the times. They weren't ready to adapt to the new technologies. Last week, we went on a hike. We went up to Griffith Observatory. And from there, what was last week? Oh, yeah, right on, on the holidays, yes. So my son was off of school for a week too, so we had a chance to spend some really quality time as a family. We went for a hike, and we're looking from Griffith Observatory and this beautiful this beautiful scene of all of Los Angeles from one end to the other. And I pulled out my smartphone and started photographing it, and I thought to myself, you know, this was impossible a few years ago. Because of the cost of film, because of the cost of processing, getting it, you couldn't waste film. Right now, we just waste it. Hey, it's just a digital image. We don't like it. You hit the delete button. And most of the time, you're just downloading it, and it sits on some hard drive somewhere or up in the cloud someplace. You don't know what you got because you're just like shooting picture after picture after picture. And I was thinking about this beautiful scene of Los Angeles from one end to the other. And it was relatively, actually, you saw it. You saw it on last week's Next Step. I used it as the cover shot, right? And there's times where you see the buildings in there. And I was thinking to myself, you know, certain of these pictures you don't want to keep. It doesn't matter anymore. It's just on digital media. It's taken up a few megabytes. And you want to think of something really, really screwball. The first Macintosh used to come with a 400K disk. Yeah, no, not a megabyte. This is a kilobyte, 400 kilobyte, that had the operating system on it. It had a program or two. I think it was Write and Paint. It allowed you to do some primitive painting and some word processing. And it had enough room for you to store a few of these files too, 400K. Now think about, you need 1,000K to make a 1 megabyte. One of these pictures that you take on your cell phone is about 5 or 6 megabytes. 5 or 6 megabytes, that first Macintosh. Imagine if they said that, okay, Macintosh, we have the kilobytes on these little disks, and that's what we're going to stick with. Where would we be today? Well, first of all, they would be out of business, right? Because someone else would have come along the way and said, okay, well, we're going to create a bigger source, a bigger means of doing it. But Apple, innovative, and they did struggle as a company. They did struggle, right? You know the history of it, but they did come back because they went with the times. They said that they needed to move up. Now, of course, you know where I'm coming from and the pain that I'm feeling, because as a church, we're not bending with the times. Does this mean that you throw everything out? No, it doesn't. Kodak is still an imaging company, right? But the means at which they image has to change. You're not using film, you're using digital media. Kodak is still synonymous with photography, the name. Photographic imaging. But the means by which you image has changed. No longer do you need to put it on 35 millimeter film that you've taken from movie studios and adapted into a little cylinder, taking that cylinder over to a shop that uses chemicals and washes it and then projects light through it and puts it on a piece of paper. And then you take that paper and you display it inside of your photographic journals, your books. Now, just take the picture, you connect it, whether via Wi-Fi or an actual physical connection, to your computer, to a place where you can view it, your television monitor, wherever it may be. And, you know, guess what? In 10 years, what I'm talking about is going to be obsolete. In 10 years, this is going to be obsolete. People are going to say, oh, listen to that. Can you imagine? They took pictures on these cell phones, and then they had to connect via Wi-Fi and lines to view them. Can you imagine that? Now we just take the picture, and they're flashed right on our eyelids. Just close our eyes, and there they are. Well, I don't know where the future is going to take you, but definitely it's moving. And your only, listen to this, your only means of survival is to adapt. And this is very Darwinian. It's survival of the species. Right? It's to adapt to your environment. I talk about Kodak. I want you to make that bigger leap right now to matters of faith. This is episode number 500 of The Next Step. We started Next Step to Adapt to Our Environment. We're at number 500 right now. Right now, we're going to take a break, listen to the song of the day. I'll be back right afterwards.
Bundener mer sırterin, ernek te aysın ortarin. Aza çençe hayastan, yev şurcu masis mer sarin. Hayleyin artan dastan, yev şurcu masis mer sarin. Hayleyin artan dastan. Ernekte aysın ortarin, hayas gnimi gumar ver, igluh karno hayamrin, hayudroşak tzatzaner, igluh karno hayamrin, hayudroşak tzatzaner, ernekte aysın ortarin, verçtar hayitzaverin. Çarakor çeru barin, bundan ermer sırterin. Çarakor çeru barin, bundan ermer sırterin. Ernekte aysın artarin, votki kanganer hayastan. Yevki sakand berkarin, liner kavak mervostan. Yevki sakand mer karin, liner kak mer bostan. Hayır yepek çerk matink, kakatar vi aysamen, yete isbar menkanen. Hokrokutun mer sırten, yete isbar menkanen. Հոգրոքություն մեր սրտեն Երնեք թե այս նորդարին Վեջ տարհայի ծավերին Չարեքոչ էր ու բարին Ունդներ մեր սրտերին Չարեքոչ էր ու բարին Ազատ շնչը Հայաստան, Եվ շուրջ մասիս մեր սարին, Հայրեին արդանդաստան, Եվ շուրջ մասիս մեր սարին, Հայրեին արդանդաստան. Վերջ տարայի ծավերին, չարը կորչ էր ու բարին, բունդներ մեր սրտերին, չարը կորչ էր ու բարին, բունդներ մեր սրտերին.
Yernekte Aisnor Dari is the name of that tune. Comes to us from Ruben and Lilit. There will be a link on today's show notes so you could check out the music. Just thought it was a little different, a little more meditative, a little bit of melody in there, contemplation, talking about the wishes for the new year. Wishing you all the best as we embark on 2018. May it be a year for beauty, a year for meditation, a year for us to grow spiritually and as a human race.
I believe in fires at midnight when the dogs have all been fed. A golden toddy on the mantle, a broken gun beneath the bed. Silken mist outside the window.
Okay, did you have enough of Kodak for today? We're going to switch it over, but the metaphor is still going to stay. It didn't adapt to the times. It was slow to adapt. And this is really one of the big challenges we have today. As Christians of an ancient faith, to be able to adapt properly, to be able to adapt at a speed that will ensure the survival of the message of Christ. Now, we believe that the church is guided by the Holy Spirit. And I sincerely believe that every step of the way, the Holy Spirit is in charge. You have to believe that. That's one of the tenets, that the Holy Spirit is what guides the church, as it did in the first time that the Christians met. After Jesus' resurrection, right? They met and they said, we've got to get this message out. How do we do that? We need to adapt to the times. And Pentecost, it was exactly that, adapting to the times. I mean, Jesus had resurrected. He had overcome death. Now we've got to get this message out. How do we get this message out? Jesus is the creator. Jesus is the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus is love incarnate. And we have been a witness to that. Now we've got to get that out to the people. We've got to distribute this good news. Pentecost, look it up. Book of Acts. They find a means. And the Holy Spirit descends upon them and gives them the power of tongues to be able to communicate with others, communicate with people about this incredible message. That's what Pentecost was. And through the centuries, different means. They started writing. They started writing and documenting what had happened. Later on, they used art. Hey, art was just a different means of technology, right? Drawing, painting. What did Da Vinci do? When you look at Da Vinci's, the Sistine Chapel, you look at all that. And you say, here's somebody who is presenting the story in art, right? And throughout the centuries, artists, musicians came along. They used music to get that message out. The printing press revolutionized things. The first thing they printed was printing of the Bible, so they could get the message out. And here we are in the 21st century, and we're failing to use the means that are at our disposal to give this message the boost that it needs. Now, I had a really interesting discussion the other day with a colleague. She was on the verge of talking about ministry and where ministry goes. I want you to think about this for a moment. In the context of what we're talking about too. What is the one sin that is unforgivable? Jesus says, sins against the Holy Spirit. Wow! There it is. Do you get the connection? You know, I'm taking my time today. It's episode number 500. I'm expecting that you're getting the idea of how we connect these dots. I didn't want to just throw it out that Kodak is a model for anything right now. But do you understand where I'm going with this? And if you don't, let me quote it, lest you think that I'm just making this up. Mark chapter 3, Jesus says, truly I tell you, all sins and blasphemies will be forgiven for the sons of men. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, but is guilty of an eternal sin. What does that mean? Well, the Holy Spirit guides our church, and we're refusing to listen. We're refusing to allow that Holy Spirit to move the church when we refuse to bend with the times. It's so simple. We're not changing the message. What we're doing is we're finding the means by which we can present that new message. And if you don't bend with the times, if you do take your time, you are destined to repeat history. Namely, the Kodak experience of the last 20 years is history now. You are destined to repeat that history if you can't adapt to the times. Kodak couldn't adapt to digital photography at a proper pace. That's how simple it is. It couldn't adapt. It said that, oh, it's okay. This is the way things have always been done. This is the way things will be done today. And what do we get? You get a company that's folding. You know, you look around you right now. This is why I said it's really the challenge for the Christian church today. is to understand that we are in different times when we are being bombarded. And yes, you can find all the excuses. You could say that that's horrible. Yes, it's terrible that people are getting their fix off of Facebook, off of Twitter. But this is the way that people are communicating today. And at the, if Pentecost were to happen today, trust me, the Holy Spirit would be coming and saying that I'm giving you the means. Here's a bunch of smartphones. Get out there and tweet. Yeah. Think about it for a moment. What was Pentecost? It was a means. It was giving them the means, the tools by which they would do their work. They would continue their ministry. Today we have been given those tools. And they're as simple as just adapting to them. That's how simple they are. Now, we can refuse. We can say, no. Digital photography, it's just a fad. Well, guess what? Like I said, yeah, in 10 years, 20 years, it's going to be new ways. Look at what's going on with the automobiles. Henry Ford, 100 years ago, you know, the assembly line put together these cars. Now you've got this, Elon Musk, putting together these Teslas, and he can't keep up with them. He can't keep up with them. The assembly line is too slow to keep up with the demand for those Teslas. What are you going to say at that point? You're going to say, sorry, can't do it. Let's go back to the steam engine. Let's go back to the gasoline-powered engine. No, you've got a new technology, and you're exploring it. That's the creativity of the human soul. And so too at the church, we have the means of reaching out. Reaching out to places that we never expected. That was the experiment that we started with the next step. 2008, we started 500 episodes ago. We started with this idea, very, very basic idea. Like, okay, we're preaching to a congregation on the corner here in Glendale. How about if we expand the user base? How about if we go beyond that? And I'll never forget that first year when we started the next step. It was very interesting because we put it out there, not knowing. And there's a lot of fear. I got to tell you about that too. But we put it out there. And I'll never forget, it was that first Thanksgiving and podcasts were just dawning. I mean, we weren't the first podcast. We weren't the last one. We were right there at the beginning. And I remember when Apple, their iTunes, featured the next step. At that time, they would feature a podcast, I think once a day, once every week or whatever. They featured us. It was Thanksgiving 2008. They featured us. And all of a sudden, boom, we had a new audience. We had a huge audience that was listening to us on different continents. And today at age 500, we've got people that are writing to us from all over the world saying, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for getting this word out. But that thanks shouldn't give us the comfort zone. It shouldn't give us that ability to say, okay, well, we did it. Now we stop. No, now you've got to look further beyond. And in looking further beyond, it's not this apprehension of what will tomorrow bring, but it's how can we bring this message to its next level? And unfortunately, what happens is that when we get to the level of church, we're scared. We're scared to touch it because it comes with a lot of baggage. Namely, it comes with a history, and we're scared to become a part of that history. Listen to me really carefully. Part of that history means that you are just as valid as the historical characters that were in that church. The other day we were talking with the same colleague I was talking about before, right? She was talking about working with the Methodists, and she had talked about how they quote Wesley. That's beautiful. But Wesley, as the founder or the one who gives the structure to Methodists, Wesley pointed to something greater than himself, namely Jesus Christ. And you cannot forget Jesus Christ. And as she was telling me about that experience in the Methodist Church, I thought about the same within Orthodoxy, specifically in Armenian Orthodoxy, but in all of Orthodoxy, in all of the traditional churches. This is perhaps one of the greatest things that Pope Francis, for the Western, for Catholicism, that he's doing. He's saying, okay, it's beyond just our Catholicism, but there is something beyond that Catholicism that it points to, namely the love of Christ. And so, too, within Orthodoxy, we have some greats. We have, in Armenian Orthodoxy, we have people like Nerses Shnorali. We have St. Vartan Mamigonian, a warrior. We have some Datevatsis. But all of them pointed to Jesus Christ. St. John Chrysostom, of all of Orthodoxy, right? Voske Peran, we call him in Armenian church, the golden mouth. What did he point to? He pointed to Jesus Christ. It's not like you have a Voske Peran, you have a St. John of Chrysostom, and you say that, okay, he in himself is what we're going to follow. No. You follow Jesus. We're Jesus-based. Now, St. John Chrysostom gives us the tools. He gives us the means. He gives us some incredible ways of reaching and following Christ. But who do we follow? We follow Christ. Same thing with all the other saints. Same thing with all of the rest of the history of the church. And now here's the important part. You are part of that history. Yeah. Don't exclude this. Remember, I shared with you this story several years ago, and I'd do it again. We were in the sixth grade, and we were taken up to a place called Clear Creek here in Los Angeles. Part of the Los Angeles school systems, the sixth grade class would go camping for 1 week in the local forests. Angeles Crest is our local forest. And we went to a place called Clear Creek, which had just gone through this big fire, and they used us as the students to plant seeds. I remember we went and we planted trees as part of this 1 week being away up in the mountains, up in the hills. And we're standing on a ridge. We're overlooking this beautiful, beautiful valley of trees, of a sunset, if I remember right. Maybe it was the sunrise, but it was just beautiful. And our teacher got up and said, I want everyone to be quiet for a moment. Be quiet, be still. I want you to listen to what you hear around you. And sure enough, when we became quiet, and this is sixth graders, how old are we there? About 11, 12 years old, okay? We're just making all kinds of noise, shuffling around and everything. But he had us all quiet down. And he said, I want you to listen to what you hear. And sure enough, when we quieted down, what did we hear? We heard the scenery. We heard everything around us. We heard the birds chirping. We heard small animals rustling. If we were quiet enough, you could hear the water in a distance, the Clear Creek going through the ravines. You could hear it. The water. Dead silent. And like all sixth graders, like all 12-year-olds, there's always going to be somebody who's going to be the prankster, the jokester or something. And one of the guys in our group made an obscene noise. And it caused the rest of us to all start laughing. Yeah, you're 12 years old, okay, you're taken out there, you're not used to this quietness, and we're out there, and it makes this noise, and we all start laughing, and of course the teacher, the counselor, got upset. He came down on that poor guy, and he says, I told you guys to be quiet. You ruined that moment. And that little moment has stuck with me all these years. His words, you ruined the moment. Because I always thought to myself, that boy's voice, that obscene noise that he made was also part of the landscape. I mean, who's to say that those little bugs and those little animals rustling amongst the trees, that's not obscene? Well, in a sense it is, right? They're walking. They're scrunching up the leaves. They're rustling against the twigs, and it's making some noise. But we like it. We accept it. We say, look at the cute little animals. The squirrels, they're moving around and everything. but this guy makes this noise and everybody laughs. Well, he too was part of that moment. But we exclude them. We exclude the stuff that hurts our ears. I mean, I do this all the time. I go to places, and especially as an Armenian priest, you get invited to some of these Armenian events where they have these DJs blasting. Yeah, the music is obscene. Obviously, it's just too loud. Too loud. It's blasting and everything. And you know what? You can complain about it, which I do, or you could remove yourself from it. But basically, that is the reality of that gathering. That is part of that gathering. That young boy's voice, his noise, was a part of that scenic view that we have. And you and I are part of the history of the church being here in the year 2018. Just as we count the year 35, the year 42, when St. Thaddeus was in Armenia as part of the history of the Armenian church. Just as we count 451, the Council of Chalcedon, the Battle of Avarayd, as part of the history of the church, 2018 is now a moment in the history of the church. And there's a validity to each of us. Each of us, our wants, our pleasures, our needs. How many times do I hear people coming up to me, why can't we have English services in the Armenian church? And my question to them is, why can't we? Who's stopping you? Who's stopping you from celebrating in a language that you could understand? We do it all the time, don't we? When you pray, you are part of the Armenian church. You are part of Orthodoxy. You are part of that system. You are praying in a language that speaks to your heart. Because if you want to talk about English, I mean, which English are we talking about? We have that in the Armenian language. We have Eastern and Western dialects. And between those dialects, there's also all kinds of small little dialects from the different areas of Armenia. And people say, oh, look at that divided language and everything. It's not divided language. It's just the same as the English language. When language is alive, it changes. It adapts. And so too with faith. Our faith is the same. It's in Jesus Christ. The means by which we send it out varies. And by means, I'm talking about our adaptation to the circumstances that we have all around us. It's not ours to change. You know, a few months ago, I had some people who said, who are you to change the Armenian church? No, nobody's changing. Nobody's changing what you believe. The basics are there. And what are the basics? The words that Jesus Christ spoke. Love one another. Is the basics there? Yes, the basics are there. And that's basically your means of checking it out. You look at Old Testament theology, well, think about what Jesus Christ said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So what is the Old Testament? Is it before the Alpha? No, it's not before the Alpha. What it was is a means of understanding. So you've got these stories, the oral traditions which get put together. You've got the prophets who come and try to explain God's law. You've got the laws. The laws, 617. Different laws. Now, why is it that certain laws are impossible to change and other laws? Well, it's okay. You could bend them. Eating meat of the hoof foot. Okay. Well, it's okay. We could pass that one off. Well, wait. It's a law in there, right? Shellfish. No, we shouldn't eat that. Why? People do it all the time. Is it okay to overlook that law? It is a law. Well, people have made a decision on it. They said, well, it's a minor law. You could overlook that. Why? Well, because we are human and we understand that things change. I mean, you want to talk about the cleanliness of foods. Think about all the hormones that we're pumping into animals that we do eat that are quote unquote acceptable. Are they acceptable once you understand the amount of drugs that they're putting into these animals? I mean, we're finding out every day. about new hormones, about new antibiotics that they're putting into animals. And we're appalled by them. Do you think if the scriptures were written today, they wouldn't include an exclusion of those kind of animals? Probably so. But we've adapted. We've adapted. This doesn't mean we're wishy-washy. It means we're part of the evolutionary process. And like it or not, you have to figure out which fights you're going to be fighting and what you're going to be doing and what's important. And the bottom line being the importance of loving one another. You see, that's why Jesus Christ at the very end, he said it. He says, "This is how they will know that you are my children. Not by observing the laws, not by following the prophets." He says, "This is how they will know that you are my children, that you love one another as I loved you." Wow! The definition for Christians. He's saying it. I'm not saying it, okay? The definition for Christians. Who is a Christian? That you love one another the way I loved you. How did he love us? He put out his hands and he gave his life for us. That's a definition. You know, a few months ago, there was talk about gay marriages and everything. And I came out with a statement. In the Armenian church, marriage is between a man and a woman. That's a definition. That's a definition of what we understand as holy matrimony. That's a definition. You want to use this word matrimony? Within the context of the church, it means between a man and a woman. It's not a judgment call. It's not to say you can't live together. It's not to say anything else. Now, those laws, you're welcome to extrapolate any way you want. But the definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. It's that clear. Okay, now you want to fight that. You want to change that. That's a question of changing that definition. We're not talking about anything else except to define those words. And in the same way, what do you find in your life? These are things that we have to define. And to be able to adapt to that life around you is part of the very evolutionary process. It's the survival of the fittest. It's very Darwinian. You cannot be scared of these names. You cannot be scared of science because they are not exclusive. Faith and science are not exclusive of one another. They're both ways of defining the same realities that are around us. Just this morning, I watched a beautiful video. If I remember, I'll make sure it's on today's show notes. Carl Sagan's The Blue Dot. Beautiful, beautiful. You realize when he says that point that everybody you've ever loved, you've ever spoken to, you've ever read, anything you have done is all on that pale blue dot. I spoke about this, I think, last year. I think it must have been around the eclipse times when we were looking up into the heavens. And this is a picture that came to us as one of the spacecrafts that we had sent up into the cosmos had just passed the bounds of our solar system, or right around, maybe around Neptune, Uranus, right around there. And it took one last picture of the sun. In other words, as this spacecraft was hurling outside of our solar system, it turned around and took a picture of our solar system, of our sun. And there was this pale blue dot in the middle of it. And Carl Sagan at the time made reference to it, that everything that we know, understand, all the languages, all the people that we've known has had an existence on that pale blue dot. And then the camera backs up and you see this huge universe out there. Okay, now, look at science. It's going to try to describe that. Look at religion. What's it doing? It's trying to describe it. Do we know? No, it's called mystery. It's still a mystery. You could put all kinds of concepts together, but it's beyond our understanding. And our acceptance of that our acceptance of the reality all around us doesn't mean we're wishy-washy. It doesn't mean we are throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It just means that we are accepting the environment in which we live. And it is part of our survival as a people to be able to understand that. to be able to come to terms with that. We started off today's podcast with a very simple challenge by looking at the model of Kodak, a big, big player in the arena of American business, of American lifestyle. Never did anyone think that it would go belly up. Never did anyone think that it would file for Chapter 11. This is a big organization. Their yellow paper, their yellow color was branded in such a way that you looked at it and you saw Kodak. Here we are. There's no Kodak. It didn't adapt to the times. We don't want to say the same thing about the church. And I truly believe that the church will not get there, because it is being guided by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is what guides us to make these podcasts, to get us to age 500 and to move forward. And when I say at the end of the show, we need your prayers, it's those prayers that unite us, that put us together and keep us believing in what is important in our lives. So Happy New Year to all of you. Don't be scared to adapt. Don't be scared of the words. Instead, enjoy and celebrate the life that Jesus has given us, the life that comes to us in knowing that our greatest asset is not the history, but the love that is at the end of that history. Be back in a few moments.
Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the 10th year of producing shows, which are heard around 6 continents. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Well, thank you, Susie, for that reminder. And it is the new year, and all things are new, and we're ready to embark on a new year of all kinds of activities. We invite you to all the usual spots. We have the big MLK retreat coming up next weekend, and we're looking forward to that. Still a couple spots in there. If you're so inclined to be with us, do let me know. Do send me an email immediately, feedback@epostle.net, and we'll make sure that you and your family could get involved in that. It's a beautiful opportunity. Get away from everything. It's up in Zeka Lake, which is about mid-California, about center of California, in the Santa Maria area. And we're looking forward to that, to just getting away for a couple days to be with friends, to pray, to meditate, to talk, to discuss, to see what are the means and ways that we can put our feet in the shoes of others, walking in the shoes of others. Do get involved with us. And as I said earlier, I'm saying it again, keep us in your prayers. Pray for us. It's the biggest thing that you can do for us. Your support is more than appreciated, but your support in prayer cannot be counted in any other ways. When you make your list of things to pray for In His Shoes Ministry, pray for each of us, and may God's blessings be with all of you as well as with us. That about wraps it up for today. I hope you enjoyed today's show, a way of starting off the new year with some thoughts for us to contemplate, for us to look forward to, and how we can become better people in this world, how we can connect the dots, and how we can include everybody. No disenfranchisement anymore, right? No need for it. We've got a beautiful faith. It's a faith that needs to be celebrated. On behalf of the wonderful crew who put today's show together, Susie, our producer, Ken, our engineer, this is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
Here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Anything else?
Jesus is the reason of the season.
Yeah, Jesus is the reason of the season?
Yeah.
That's a good quote.